Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Aryan race, and truth lovers everywhere. And welcome to Bloodlines here on yourfolkradio.com. Today is December 24th, 2017, and we're going to be continuing, or actually concluding, our story begun last week about the Hebrew origin of the nations of Finland, Estonia, and related countries up there, and Vikings. We're going to actually be talking more about the Vikings today, because I'd gotten an email last week from a European pagan lady, Charlotte, and I hope she's listening, because we're going to go into great detail today about the Vikings, and we mentioned last week that the Vikings were, in fact, Danites. So, and we're going to reveal something about the Vikings that is quite surprising, very little known outside of identity circles, and which also proves that they are Israelites. But let's continue today. We'll conclude last week's study, which was from www.nordiskisrael.dk. I put the link in the chat room already. And we'll just go down to the bottom section, Pastor Steve, the Testament of Issachar and the Finnish character. So last week we focused on Issachar. We talked about Benjamin and Dan and maybe some Judah and the modern European nations founded by these 12 tribes. So before we actually start this, maybe Pastor Steve, you can give your characterization of how the European nation states were created and populated by the 12 tribes of Israel.
Well, they all have their different characteristics, but then the 12 tribes all had different characteristics. Yes. Back where we originated, okay?
Yes.
And it carried over particular family traditions, because that's what they were.
Yes.
They were families, individual families. And the families expanded, and these traditions became very dear to the hearts of each. It gave them their identity.
Yes.
Okay. I'm of this, and I do this, and I do that, and this is how we do things in.
Yeah.
Issachar land.
In our house.
And it was a healthy thing. They were very proud of their lineage
and their traditions. Yes.
They lost their lineage and tradition in their memory hole. It just disappeared.
Yeah.
Because of the beleaguerment and the theft of their heritage. By you know who?
Yeah.
So we would like to restore a lot of that.
Amen.
As to who our brothers and sisters are.
Right, and for those people who have not yet gone to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, the Migrations of the 12 Tribes of Israel slideshow presents and shows how all 12 tribes migrated into Europe, and because they were expelled by Yahweh for their pagan activities.
Yep.
Okay. And none of them were Jews. and we'll prove that as we go through this today. Okay. So are you saying, Pastor Steve, that if Israel had 12 sons, they'd all have different personalities?
Well, but like any family and group of boys, they would have different personalities. And on his deathbed, Israel described all of his sons.
Yes.
Did
yes,
he Jenny. Not? The patriarch gave
blessings,
all the blessings, and described them. You'll have one boy that's very bookish, mm-hmm. and a great student, and then you have another boy, maybe even a twin, that's a football player and a great big burly
right?
dude, and he just can't get enough button heads. He loves to go out there and crash into others, and then you'll have another one
that is a
craftsman.
Uh-huh.
That builds marvelous stuff. I mean,
Benjamin.
Yeah, yes. all of these people.
Yeah, they all have different.
The singular characteristic of all the sons, and I hope you people out there are listening. The characteristic that they all had. Every one of them was a warrior.
Yes.
When push came to shove, they
Vikings.
Were there with their sword drawn.
Right.
And, well, they were there with their sword drawn, mm-hmm. and they were ready to defend the family.
Amen.
We need to restore that in our heart these days. Because coming down the time, brothers and sisters, when we're going to have to draw the sword and defend the family.
Well, that's what Michael was saying on his show. Where are the Swedish men? Where are they?
Yeah. Well, that's what Pastor Dan's saying.
Yeah.
And me, and David James, and you. And, it's getting down to the end times. It's not going to be solved peaceably.
Right. We're going to have to defend ourselves.
You're not going to be able to do it at the ballot box. You're going to have to do it
in front of a judge.
At the cartridge box.
That's right. Very good. Very good. Okay.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. So
I'm
let's
sorry,
finish.
That's
reality.
Let us be peaceable.
That's
right.
Well,
let us do this peaceably.
Yeah. I think that's what I said yesterday on the Restoration Hour, that the Rothschilds have given up trying to dispose of the Second Amendment. And they're just going to start attacking us and rounding us up. So we better start getting ready. Get your cartridge box.
That's a two-way street, brother.
That's right. It's a two-way street. Bring it on.
Rothschild.
Bring it on.
I am not advocating violence, but I am not advocating pacifism either. Our Messiah was not a pacifist.
That's right. He was not a pacifist.
He took the cat of nine tails, those knotted cords, and drove the money changers out of the temple by lashing them and beating them and overturning their tables.
Right, right.
Come on. And he said, I have to do this that I have to do, otherwise mine would fight.
Right.
Sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Yes.
Self-defense is not unscriptural.
It was not the time to take it to the heathen. He had to redeem Israel first. So that happens at the second coming. The final battle will be between true Israel and the international Jew and their minions.
Second Thessalonians 1:1, when he comes, he's coming with his avenging angels.
Right.
Slay all of those that don't know Elohim. Now, does that sound like a pacifist?
Right.
Grace will be over at that point. If you haven't made your decision,
yes,
you're hit.
That's right. That's right. So that
time even
is
if you're
fast
an, even if you're an Israelite, you're hit. That's, so
right.
You do what you want.
Okay, so we'll be verifying this personality of the various tribes we're going to be discussing today. But let's finish off our discussion of Issachar, Finland, Estonia, and related nations, because these are the northernmost, and that includes the Vikings also, the Danes that were up there, Norway, Sweden, etc. Those nations are of the 12 tribes. And we specified, we talked mainly about Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, and Finland and Estonia. So to finish off,
You got Dan's Mark and Sweden.
Right, exactly.
And the Danube River and the Dardanelles. Right. All the seafaring people of Dan.
Yeah, and the Jutland Peninsula we didn't talk about. That's the tribe of Judah. Today it's called what? Denmark? Yeah, it's Denmark today. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so a lot of Judahites there as well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so
all warriors.
Yeah, all warriors. Amen. The Testament of Israel, well, the problem is with the Jews have arranged wars between our tribes, and this is an ongoing story. Even back to the original days of the 12 tribes, tribe of Benjamin was nearly wiped out by a coalition of the other tribes down to 600 men. So we've had internecine warfare among our tribes throughout history, and we want an end to that. That's why one of the reasons why we were broadcasting is to put an end to the Jews arranging wars between white nations. Okay?
Yep, even brothers will fight among themselves.
Yes, they will. But sisters, not so much, but brothers, yes.
You got to be kidding me.
Right.
Man,
right.
Some of the nastiest fights I've ever seen are girl fights. Come on. Eli. Let's not sugarcoat this. Women, I've seen a woman punch out a great big man.
Oh, really?
Just had him running. Yes, though, honey, please. No. whack. Come on.
No, that's not ladylike. All right, let's continue here. The Testament of Issachar and the Finnish character. And we found out last week that this author assumes that the Jews are Judah. And so we need to disabuse people of that false idea. In the Testament of Issachar, first set down around 200 BC, he says Jewish, but it's actually Israelite writers, painted a portrait of the tribal patriarch on his deathbed. Now, each patriarch wrote his own story, and I put the link to the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs in the chat room already, so you can just look at that while we're going along and find the Testament of Issachar. We're not going to reference that today, but that link is in the chat room. And Issachar reviews his life story before his sons Tola, Fuva, Job, Jashub, and Shimron, and their families. He has lived 126 years of great hardship. He has been upright, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I was not a busybody in my doing, so he's not a liberal, nor malicious and slanderous against my neighbor. I never spoke against anyone, nor did I censure the life of any man, but walked in the simplicity of my eyes.
He wasn't part of the news media.
And he wasn't Jewish.
Anyone?
Okay. Because Jews are the exact opposite of everything he just said here. Unlike Reuben, the author says, or Judah, Issachar was not a womanizer, but remained faithful to his Yoktanat wife, Arida, all his life. He married at age 35 and has remained faithful to his wife all her days. Tradition says Issachar married Arida of the line of Jobab, son of Yoktan. Issachar became a farmer and God, not Jewish, and God prospered his efforts 10,000-fold. Issachar was generous and egalitarian. He shared his wealth, the good things of the earth, with all the poor and oppressed, and was single-minded in doing so. Definitely not Jewish. On every poor man and everyone in distress, I bestowed the good things of the earth in simplicity of heart. Issachar wasn't a hustler like Manasseh, Gad, Judah, or his brother Zebulun, and I don't think this is quite kind. I don't think any of the 12 tribes' patriarchs was a hustler. Our people are just go-getters, right? We just we're builders, we're creators, we're adventurers.
We are aggressive people.
Yeah, yeah,
and we go after. We build great houses great edifices, buildings.
Yeah.
Our architecture has been superb.
That's right.
Throughout the whole world.
Right. So it's not our fault that Issachar settled at the bottom of an iceberg. Right. Not much you could do there. Continuing, though he worked hard and prospered, he frowned upon acquisition for its own sake. Well, that's true of all Israelites. It should be true of our people. Modesty was very important to Issachar. He had little taste for ostentatious luxury or trendy clothing. Well, let's compare that, Pastor Steve, with Reuben, France, Austria. Okay, another Israelite country. Talk about ostentatiousness. And to some extent, you know, Judah, you know, being the kingly tribe, there's ostentation there, right? So just one of the differences in personality. Okay.
Absolutely.
The simple coveteth not gold, defraudeth not his neighbor, longeth not after manifold dainties, which, of course, the Austrians and the French are fond of. The dainty cookies and sweets, tarts, right? Yum, yum, yum. Delighted not in varied apparel, doth not... talk about France. Reuben. Oh, that describes Reuben. Doth not pictured himself to live a long life, but only waiteth for the will of God. And the, now, this is true humility. And the spirits of error have no power against him. Very nice. Very nice.
That's very good.
Yeah. As he was dying, Issachar admonished his sons and daughters and their sons and daughters to avoid sexual immorality, envy, and to have empathy and compassion for the poor and the weak. These are basic.
All scriptural.
That's all scriptural. All
Amen. Of that scripture.
Yes. They were also to obey and show kindness to Judah and Levi. Well, we're supposed to do that to all the 12 tribes. Okay. Yeah. Maybe not the Irish, but just kidding, folks.
Ah, come on. You're going to get us in trouble here.
Yeah, right. Levi. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If it weren't for whiskey, the Irish would have taken over the world already. He warned his family that in the last times in the far future, they would forsake his example, leave the land, adhere to insatiable desire and wicked devices, and eventually serve their enemies. Well, it wound up that, not willingly, but eventually wound, the Soviets under Stalin tried to overthrow them. And there were, people within... You know, we had traitors within our ranks. You know, that always happens.
Always, yeah.
The portrait of Issachar that emerges is of a quiet, peaceful, modest tribe of people. They are attached to their land, are not particularly talkative, not excessively money-minded. The Issacharites will be a very tough and stoical people, able to endure great suffering and hardship without complaining. Of all the peoples of Israel, the traits of Issachar fit the Finns and Estonians the best. Finnish.
Oh, yeah, they are tough. They are really tough.
That's right.
Because when the Soviets came in, they never did subdue.
Never did submit. Yes, they never submitted.
They never subdued the Finns. They are.
Yes, they are the toughest.
Yeah.
Yes, absolute toughest. Okay, and so I'll just jump to the last section here. What is prophesied for Finland and Estonia? History is likely to repeat itself. Both countries remain sandwiched between Europe and Russia. Both are now members of a European Union that the Bible predicts will turn into the final revival of the Roman Empire. Well, that's his opinion. It's actually the Babylonian Empire of the Jews.
Yeah.
Revelation 9 shows that just before Jesus Christ returns to the earth, that mankind's final war will rage between the Jewish Empire, the Babylonian, the mystery Babylon, which is what is truly described in Revelation 13 and 17, and a coalition of Asian powers led. Now, this is like older British Israel and older Christian identity, even, you know, Swift and Comparé. Thought that the Soviet Union would start World War III and China. They turned out to be wrong. It's the Beast Empire is led by Jews.
Well, what we're Jews. Seeing now is Russia very well may be the ally of true Israel.
That's right.
Not the bandit state, but true Israel, the white race.
True Israel, us, yes. Yeah. So that judgment is premature, and even Swift and Comparé believed, as this researcher is telling us. So Otherwise, a very good article, because there's, and I'm gratified to find so many European authors, although Philo Israel, I don't know, that's obviously a pseudonym. I don't know who he is, but more and more European authors are writing articles like this, talking about the Israelite origin of the European nation states. Okay? And that's tremendous. Okay? Now, in order to answer Charlotte, who thought that I was being a bit harsh on the Vikings, and you know, because they were pagans and they invaded Britain and other, and they invaded mainland Europe and wreaked havoc all over Europe, and they were subdued by King Alfred the Great, who was a Christian, and European history since the days of Yahshua Messiah is the story of the pagan Israelites being subdued by the Christian kingdoms.
Yeah.
Even though they're
all Israelites.
Israelites.
Israelites subduing. Well, the pagans today are wannabe pagans. They're not, they don't really believe in that. But they do it for shock value.
Right.
I hate to say that. I've known a whole bunch of them.
Right. Yeah, me too.
And they do. Yeah, I'm a pagan. Wink, wink.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, they do engage in these rituals. They have their orgies in the groves under the oak tree and that sort of stuff, you know. Yeah, but even that was practiced by the Israelites of the 10 northern tribes, was it not?
And that's what got us in trouble, too.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Those groves where they would carve trees for gods, well, later on, the righteous kings cut down those groves.
That's right. That's right.
And they had statues carved in the trees of Ishtar, you know, Ashtoreth.
Right.
Same goddess.
That's right.
Who is both the mother and the consort, meaning lover, of Mithra.
Right.
And that's the sun god, Mithra. And the star of Mithra is on the top of the Christmas tree.
There you go. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm sorry. I'm you know.
Yes. I'm going to refer to an article here entitled, Why Did the Viking Age Happen? And this is from www.historyonthenet.com. Why did the Viking Age happen? And it's very interesting because we know that the Vikings were descendants of the tribe of Dan. There's absolutely no doubt about this. And Odin was there, you know, and actually Odin was a Judahite. Odin was a direct descendant of Judah who migrated.
He was an actual physical king.
That's right. He was a person. He was an Israelite, okay? But he carried paganism from Acer, from Assyria, into the north. And all of these northern pagan traditions refer back to Mesopotamia. For example, the word German comes from the Kerman district of Assyria, all right? Mm-hmm. So you can trace all these words and names and ideas and habits all the way back to the 10 northern tribes. It's very easy to do, okay? So the question is, why did the Viking Age happen? What happened to these people that the sons went out marauding in their Viking ships? While the Vikings had the runic alphabet, and the runic alphabet has shown to be Paleo-Hebrew, they didn't have written history. Thus, we don't know exactly why the Vikings began raiding in AD 793. Scholars have many theories about the reasons why the Scandinavians began leaving home on an extensive raids, trading missions, explorations, and settlement, which include, 1, population pressures and not enough good farmland. Too many landless younger sons. Okay. Now, why would these Danites have too many landless younger sons. Didn't the Israelite tribes have a tradition called primogeniture? Where the eldest son, and of course it was Joseph, who was, even though he did not have the scepter, Joseph got the birthright, which means he was considered to be the eldest son and got a double inheritance. Okay?
That's right.
So what was actually happening in Viking land, ladies and gentlemen, was because they had this Israelite tradition of primogeniture, the eldest son would get all the good farmland, and depending on his generosity, his younger brothers may or may not fare well.
Okay, as to Joseph, he also got the birthright because the others, if you read the scriptures, disqualified themselves by their actions.
That's right, against him, yes.
Defiled his father's couch. They did this, they did that. There's all kinds of disqualifications that they committed. And the birthright fell to the youngest son, which was Yosef.
That's right.
He was the last son of Israel, and all the others.
Nice. And he was the son of his favorite wife. So was Benjamin.
Rachel. Mm-hmm.
So that's why he gave Joseph the birthright.
Well, and Joseph showed the responsibility that it would take to be the leader of the family.
He was
the wisest of all the sons.
Yes.
And that was proved out down in Mitzrayim, or Egypt, when he saved all of Israel by taking care of them during that famine.
Yes. He saved his brothers, even though his brothers had mistreated him and hated him.
Well, he messed with their head a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
Now.
Yeah, he was a little bit arrogant. right?
No, he got them back, you know.
Yeah, right.
They didn't know who he was until he revealed it.
Yes,
but he messed with their head a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, and, Brother Eber.
I always got a kick out of that. So.
Yes, yeah. Brother Eber has it absolutely right. Russia and China are not Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are the Jews of the area of Magog. They are the synagogue of Satan, okay? And so a lot of Christians don't realize that the Jews, not Russia and China, are Gog and Magog, okay? Direct reference to the descendants of who was the son of Japheth? Gomer, okay,
uh-huh.
And Gomer mixed with the Khazars, okay, and they had some Mongol blood in there too. So that Gog and Magog are really a combination of Javan.
They had a whole pile of kids. That's where Gomer Pyle comes from.
Oh, no.
Shazam!
Ten demerits for that one. All right.
Shazam, okay.
So we see that primogeniture practiced by the Vikings was, in fact, an Israelite practice. Okay? Now, here in this article, it even says, landless younger sons, under this heading, the Vikings practiced primogeniture. Where'd they get them? Where do pagans care? What do they care about primogeniture? People running around in the woods having sex with anything and everything.
They were following along with the baggage that they brought with them from what they now call Palestine. When they were Israelites, well, they had lost their name and took on new names.
And new traditions, but they kept some old ones.
Some new traditions.
Right, yeah, the pagan ones. But they kept Israelite traditions such as primogeniture. Where else could this tradition have come from? Pagans are not known for practicing primogeniture. All right? The Vikings practiced primogeniture, which means the eldest son inherits everything and any younger sons nothing. Well, that's the way they did it. The younger sons were supposed to get stuff too, because Joseph did not disinherit his brothers. Without the land to farm, younger sons would need to find a way to make a living. This theory seems likely at least as one of the factors leading to the Scandinavian expansion into Europe, and I would say it was actually one of the major reasons. Because
they were young, they were strong, they were warlike.
Right.
They wanted to go conquer. That was great adventure.
Yeah, right.
They left the eldest brother at home to take care of everything, and they went out a roving.
Yes, and if they lived and came back, then he would have a good feast.
Then they would have a bunch of treasure. They'd loot and pillage, and well,
right, yeah. Because they were pagans. Yeah, okay.
You know, they went and did the thing like a lot of young guys. That's why guys join motorcycle groups,
right?
Okay, because they like that. Yeah, uh-huh. A lot of that is over in the motorcycle communities. At least the ones I knew when I was riding.
Uh-huh.
And we were all
adventurers.
Just a great big brotherhood. And you know, I had a guy come, you want to go to this topless bar? And I said, sure. Where's it at? And he says, Ontario.
And you were in New Mexico?
No, I was in Ohio. I cleaned grease off of me.
Right.
I put on some clean clothes.
The Vikings didn't bother with that.
And we hopped on. I had a great big hog with all the bags and everything on it at that time. And I packed it full of stuff and we took off. And we got up there and we got to the border and we had all this, you know, I had white power stuff on our jackets.
Right.
And they wouldn't let us into Canada.
So
We went back down to Detroit and partied down in Detroit. and slept in a doorway.
A Viking. Like a real Viking.
I had long hair and a great big beard, big black leather jacket,
and a sword,
and a collar, and
tattoos.
We were wearing our colors,
right. Mm-hmm.
And these black guys would walk by.
What are these Vikings doing here? Sleeping in the doorway,
you know, in a black neighborhood.
Yeah,
And we were sleeping in a doorway.
Yeah, and you were afraid.
we weren't afraid. They were afraid. They didn't mess with
them. Right, yeah, they didn't mess with
them. Had one
bikers.
One guy was riding a chopper, a big, long, extended, and then I had this great big hog.
Easy rider. You led the easy rider life.
There was a whole big bunch of bikers sleeping in the story. All had a big bottle of whiskey. And but nobody.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh, man, the good old days.
Right. Okay. So
that was the way it was. Well, it was, and we were an Aryan club. We didn't have any mixture in the club.
Right.
We were straight white supremacists.
Right.
And, you know, and nobody, you know, we had white power and stuff on the jacket, and these blacks would walk by, and they would not mess with us. They were terrified.
No. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So let's begin the story of the pagan traditions that originated with the 12 tribes of Israel and how they were brought into Europe by the Israelites. Okay. First of all, Jeremiah. We'll go to Jeremiah first because that's the origin of the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. We want to go to the third website, the Truth Seeker Archive.
We'll do that right after we discuss Jeremiah, because I want to establish for the listeners that the Christmas tree was already existent among the Israelites in Jeremiah.
All right.
Okay.
Chapter 10, verse 1.
Very good.
And I'm reading from the scriptures.
Okay.
From the Institute for Scripture Research. Hear the word which Yahweh speaks to you, O house of Israel. Verse 2, thus says Yahweh, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be awed by the signs of the heavens, for the nations are awed by them. Verse 3, And here we go. For the prescribed customs of these peoples are worthless. For one cuts a tree from the forest. Work for the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. Verse 4. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it does not
Oh, topple. Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, okay.
They are like a rounded post, and they do not speak. They have to be carried because they do not walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they do no evil, nor is it in them to do any good. There is none like you, O Yahweh. You are great, and great is your name in might. Now let's get to the Christmas tree. They didn't have electric lights
right
when this first came about. So they had a candle. And at the bottom of the candle, they had two of those little globular things because it was a phallic symbol.
Okay.
Okay. On top of the tree, they had the star. That's the star of Mithra to show the ascension of the sun god. That's right. Pagan.
Right. And today or yesterday is the day of the invincible sun. Okay.
Uh-huh. Sol right. Invictus.
Right. Sol Invictus, which signifies the lengthening of the day because we had the shortest day of the year, December 21st/December 22nd. And so this begins the gradual lengthening of the day, which is the Sol Invictus Day. That's why they chose this time of year for Christmas.
That is correct. And it was ordained by a Catholic pope.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
A pagan
to bring,
Catholic
to
pope.
Bring the pagans into the Catholic Church for
That's
control.
Right. That's right.
Okay, control. Yeah. All about money and control. Well, anyway, they put you put presents underneath the tree. So you bow to the tree to get your present. Okay?
Right.
And that's why they used to have a lot of fires in the old days, because the doggone candles, before they come up with electric lights,
right,
would set the tree on fire because
that's
it
right.
dried out.
Right.
And another Christmas tree fire, the fire department would be going out.
Right.
And burn up the living room in the house. And they're so, oh, it's fun for the children.
Yeah.
Oh, we've always done this. No, you didn't always do it.
Yeah.
It crept into your lives, and it became whatever it is today.
Right.
But its origins are pagan, and you can't Christianize
right.
paganism.
That's right. You
and
can't.
It's against Yahweh's teachings.
And that's exactly what Roman Catholicism is. It's the Christianization of paganism or the paganization of Christianity. You can look at it either way. That's what Roman Catholicism is. And even the Madonna and Child goes back to Nimrod.
Well, right? That Madonna and Child, that's the Queen of Heaven and Semiramis.
Right.
That's not Mary. That's the Queen of Heaven.
That's right.
And they used to pour out drink offerings on the roof
yes.
while they were still in Israel to the Queen of Heaven.
Amen. Right.
And
we're still doing it today.
And they're doing it today.
Right.
I remember when I was a
glug,
kid.
Glug, glug, glug.
We lived in a Catholic neighborhood, and they had Mother Mary with her arms spread, you know, with the hands up.
Right, sure.
The beneficent gesture. And I went to one of the neighbor's house, and I picked two green tomatoes, and
You got a lot of Judah in you, brother.
In each hand, and we almost had a riot. I stuck right. out of the house at night and did that.
Put you stuck tomato. The tomatoes on her thumbs? Is that what
in,
you
each, in each hand. And they almost had a Catholic riot in right. the neighborhood. And they knew who did it, but they couldn't prove it.
Right.
And I was Boy, a pariah.
Your mother must have had her hands full with you.
My mother had a grin on her face from ear to ear.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my mother was in the Klan.
So,
and my granddaddy yeah. Carr and yeah. my grandma Carr, they were in Klan. They were in the March on Washington.
Yeah. So all these pagans in Europe operate on the assumption that paganism is, that European paganism is completely divorced from scripture. It is not. It is not. Modern European paganism is directly related to the Israelite pagan traditions, which they brought with them when Yahweh expelled them into Europe. That's where all of European paganism comes from. It's Hebrew, oh, yeah. Israelite in origin.
It's morphed Hebrew paganism.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's morphed into something else.
Yeah, and it's not very different from the Israelite paganism at all.
No,
all
but
these
they
traditions.
Call it by a different name. And they,
right,
oh,
yeah,
no,
Satru, Odinism.
The Israelites have lost
right.
the history of their roots, which we're trying to bring back to them.
That's right. That's right. And we're not Jews, folks. We're the exact opposite of Jews as we related with the Testament of Issachar. Okay? So now let's go. And now this is the Truth Seeker Archive. .blogspot.com. I put the link into the chat room. And somebody had asked me to explain how the how European paganism originated in Hebrew Israelite customs, because they were skeptical of the idea. So I wrote this letter to a person, and I lost track of it. And just recently I said, damn, I remember I wrote an article about that. What happened to it? And I looked through my personal archives, and I just couldn't find it. So I said, okay, well, I'll have to start all over again. Well, anyway, I went online, and I kind of vaguely remember the title, and it was this, The Hebrew, Israelite, Canaanite Origins of Judaism and Norse, Teutonic, and Celtic Paganism. This was simply a letter I wrote to somebody, and it mm-hmm. was preserved by the Truth Seeker Archive to my great astonishment and joy. Okay, which means I don't have to write it all over again. And so the founder or the owner of the website attributes it to me because he got a hold of it. Maybe I wrote it to him. I don't remember. It was long ago. Anyway, let's get right into it. Myth. European paganism is of non-Hebrew origin. That's the myth. Okay. Many white pagans assume that Teutonic and Celtic paganism are of non-Hebrew origin. This is not true. The fact is that the main reason that Yahweh banished the Israelites into the wilderness was because of their acquired taste for paganism. Some of our
Correct.
People still have that taste today. Okay.
And they picked it up from the nations around them, which
right.
they were commanded to not to destroy.
Not to do.
Break down their altars. Well,
right.
They didn't do it.
Well, you talked about that on your was it your which I forget which show was it, if it was the word for word.
Probably well, both of them.
Okay.
I hammer on it pretty hard.
Right. Yeah. Because the 10 northern tribes, they built pagan. Monuments and pagan temples.
Yeah, they were called high places.
Mm-hmm.
They built big mounds and had worship sites right. on top of them.
And they were
they
practicing.
They worshiped under the trees.
Under
they
the oak trees. Under the oak in the yep. groves.
That's
in the
right.
groves, right? Just like right. modern European pagans do.
Well, the problem with the word grove, a lot of times it's not grove is a Asherah pole.
Okay.
Because they carved a pole
okay.
to the, Asherah and
the maypole. The maypole.
And they had orgies.
Right.
underneath that Asherah pole, because she was Ishtar, Ashtoreth, Asherah.
Yes. Yeah.
Different names for the same goddess,
right.
Goddess of fertility.
Mm-hmm. And they still practice, the Celts still practice these traditions today. And here we have proof, folks, that our Israelite ancestors were doing it then and there. Okay?
Yep.
There's no doubt about this. The Israelites of the 10 northern tribes, especially under Jezebel, a Zidonian Canaanite woman, and Ahab, who was an Israelite king, were practicing all sorts of pagan rituals, including human sacrifice and frolicking sex orgies in the groves or the maypole. Ah, the good old days. These practices, like when your biker days, these practices were borrowed from the neighboring Canaanites. In fact, sometimes they shared these rituals with the Canaanites, which was a violation of Yahweh's law not to mix with Canaanites. And you talked about how the various...
Do not have their mighty ones in
right.
your midst, because they will pervert you and get you away from Yahweh. Well, that's what mighty
right.
ones mean. They're little g gods.
Yeah. And on your last show, you were talking about how the Israelites were commanded to either exterminate these kind of Canaanites or get rid of them, throw them out of the territory. And they failed to do that. What did they do instead?
Put them to forced labor.
Right. They enslaved them. We were not to do that. We were to get rid of them. One way or the other, get rid of them and not have them live amongst us. Okay. But they violated Yahweh's commandments and allowed them to live under tribute. Okay. And then just by the mere association with these people, they had began adopting their pagan traditions. All right, so all these modern pagans who think that they're rebelling against Judaism and Judeo-Christianity are in fact practicing the traditions of the proto-Jews, namely the Canaanites and Edomites, and are actually practicing Canaanite rituals whether they know it or not.
Yep.
Okay? That's the reality.
You tell them that and they look at you like you got two
heads. Yeah, that can't be right. It's unbelievable. No, it's true. It's absolutely true. Modern European pagans are actually practicing Canaanite/Jewish rituals. You know, and the reason why you don't know that is because the Judeo-Christian churches don't bother with any history. They're ahistorical,
well,
even anti-historical people.
Edom was absorbed into the Canaanites,
yes,
and
yeah,
what later became the Jews, because they went up. The Khazars adopted Judaism because the Tsar was going to throw them into the wolf pits where they were
right.
sacrificing the children. You will take some form of religion and calm down, or we're going to bring the Cossacks in and kill you.
Right.
Okay,
right.
They chose Judaism because of the usury angle.
Right.
And the Khazars are just straight up mixed with the Edomites. They
Mongols,
worked their way up in there.
Mongols and Edomites,
and they,
yes.
They mixed
Hittites.
In and absorbed Edom. Edom as a distinct people was absorbed. They disappeared, and they spread their bloodline among
right.
all the others. Well, they have no ties to what's called the Holy Land at all.
Right.
They are not of Abrahamic seed. They have
and
no
neither
ties.
Neither are the Canaanites. Yes.
But they have adopted and misled and deceived and lied. That is their main characteristic.
That's right.
Oh, we're Gawad's chosen people. But in secret, they practice devil worship through their Talmud, which is a devilish book.
That's right. Satanism.
It is satanic. Oh, man, it's terrible.
Right. Right. So and then you have these modern European pagans who think they're rebelling against Judaism in their paganism, but in fact, they're actually practicing it. They just don't realize it. And the modern Jews, they still practice these things in secret, but they have
to blood sacrifice.
Oh,
they
yeah.
sacrifice children.
Yes, right. That's
and
right.
And drink the blood.
Mm-hmm. And they've got the Freemasons doing it now, too.
And they eat the body parts.
Yep. Yep.
And it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But these traditions are... And a Kabbalah is a Jewish ritual magic. They don't talk about it in public, but most Christian ministers know about it. They just won't talk about it. Again, you're talking about Canaanite paganism. See, the Jews never gave up their paganism. They just put on a show of a biblical, quote-unquote, heritage, which is a big, fat lie, for public consumption.
What they do out on the street is not what they do behind closed doors.
That's right. They're very secretive people. And even pagans, right? The pagans are kind of imitating the Jews by keeping their paganism secret. You know, and they go about their daily lives pretending to be normal people. And then they have their rituals around the maypole, you know, and whatever else they do at the full
moon.
Wear
their little hammer around their neck and stuff.
Yeah. And it wasn't the moon goddess Kiun? Chiun?
We'll
get to it. Kuhn. Okay, so let's dig in here. Okay, these practices were borrowed from the neighboring Canaanites, and the false gods they worshipped were actually Canaanite gods and goddesses. We will here proceed to document the Canaanite origin of Celtic and Teutonic, that is German, Germanic, paganism, and the Christmas tree is Germanic, folks. If they're Israelites of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin and an assortment of other hangers-on, Hosea 4:15-17 tells us, "Come ye not up to Gilgal, neither go you up to Beth-Aven, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Ephraim has joined to idols." Beth-Aven means heifer. Okay,
heifer.
Yeah. Beth-Aven means House of Aven. The Phoenician Israelites who traveled back and forth to Britain, mining tin and other metals, and bringing them back to Palestine, named numerous places after the place of the god Aven, such as Avebury, the Avon River, and the town of Avening. This is a pagan god, folks. Why would our ancestors name place names after pagan gods? That's because they had adopted paganism. Quote, "The worship of Beth-Aven in Canaan and that of Avening in Gloucestershire and that of Avon, Heliopolis, or Baalbek were all identical. The stone altars, the high place, the calves bones discovered there marked the similarity, the quote-unquote Samuel Lysons, our British ancestors, page 123. Okay? We have all kinds of documentation of the pagan practices of our Israelite ancestors. And here, Amos 5:26. "But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity to the Assyrians." Okay, maybe it's that star, Kion star, is on the top of the Christmas tree. Moloch and Kion were pagan gods adopted by the rebellious Israelites. Yahweh was getting very angry with his children. He was getting ready to cast them out into the wilderness of Europe. Another quotation here. "The Druids worshipped the sun under the title of Moloch. So we are certain that worship was derived from their Eastern ancestor," unquote, Dr. Thomas Maurice, Indian Antiquities, 1796. Well, your comment.
Stonehenge, at its inception, was a sun worship site when all the stones were originally standing in their original condition.
Mm-hmm.
The sun would shine through those things at different times of the year, and they had different rites according to the location of the shadows. When a particular shadow would touch that altar in the center, then that was the time for that ritual.
Yes, the equinoxes especially.
And when the sun moved around, Another shadow would touch, and they had another ritual.
Right.
Different times. Okay. They were all knocked down, and all the other stuff.
Yes.
So we can't tell what they were today, but it says right here, who were the Druids? The Druids were Levitical priests who abandoned Yahweh and officiated at the pagan rites of the rebellious Israelites.
And that began under Jeroboam.
Uh-huh.
Right after the division of the two houses.
They matched the uniforms of the Israelite priests down to the tiniest detail. Well, right. In the book of Judges, the very last book, it tells of a Levite that was going to be a priest to a pagan god for this one guy, and then all the people come around and took all his stuff and took his idol.
Uh-huh.
and all that stuff, and the Israelite priest lost his job.
Right, and it even tells us that Jeroboam, instead of appointing real Levites, took some of the lowest people of the 10 tribes and appointed them as priests.
He took of the people of the land.
That's right. So they weren't true Levites. They were simply Israelites dressed in Levitical costumes. And that's who the Druids are. Okay? That's who the Druids are. Okay? By the way, the Druids had they never abandoned the prophecy of the Messiah, because the Druids expected a Messiah by the name of Yehu.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They kept this prophecy. And when they realized that Yahshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, was the fulfillment of that prophecy, the Druids were easily converted to Christianity.
Yep.
And all the Celtic nations were easily converted to Christianity because they had never forgotten these prophecies, proving they were Israelites.
Here you have the Irish Druids worshipped under sacred oaks. Well, they did that back in Israel.
That's right.
And when the pagan process, so there's a mirror image right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reflection of pagan Israelite tradition, right? Which they learned from the Canaanites. They learned these things from the Canaanites, folks. Quote, the Irish Druids worshipped under sacred oaks as the Israelites did. The Druids had a great veneration for the oak. The last act of Joshua was to place a great stone under an oak in the sanctuary. The Druids were considered to be a holy people, a nation of priests, common to all the tribes of Britain, but they weren't real Levites. They were simply, basically the dregs, the dregs appointed by
That's
Jeroboam.
Right.
That's what they
That's
were.
Right. That's
but they
right.
still had Israelite knowledge and traditions, which they mixed with pagan traditions. Their duties, characteristics, and dress were strikingly in consonance with those of the Levitical priesthood, unquote. Hugh B. Colhoun, Our Descent from Israel Proved by Cumulative Evidence, page 20.
And it says, Druids is the Celtic word for oak. The Druids were the high priest of the oak fraternity.
That's right. And they were Israelites.
And Keun was a goddess of the Canaanites, and the Israelites began to worship her as well.
Okay. And then, Hosea, you mentioned the Queen of Heaven. You want to quote that? Hosea 1:18?
Yeah. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough and make cakes to the Queen of
the
Heaven.
Queen of, okay, those cakes, the hot cross buns, folks?
That's right.
Okay, that's where that comes from. It's not
that's
Christian,
right.
It's pagan.
And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods.
Glug.
Hosea 1, verse 18, and it's quite likely that the name Kuhn is the Hebrew source for the surname Quinn and the Quinn? English word queen.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So you can see how much of our vocabulary is infused with our ancient paganism. Okay? You mentioned, you want to talk about Odin here?
Yeah. Actually, It says the Teutonic god Odin, or Wotan, that is more proper, is actually the Scythian German king Odin, the warrior chief who organized the Teutons into a fighting force that defeated the Romans. He was a real descendant of the Israelites, not a god. Odin is also a word very similar to a Hebrew word for Lord, Adon, then Greek Adonis.
Okay.
So they have twisted history.
Right. Or they have really, in the case of the pagans, they've forgotten history and simply assume that modern European paganism has nothing to do with ancient Israel, and that's false.
Well, that's a lot of that is a willfulness. They don't want it to.
Right.
Because they're having too much fun.
Right.
They like to role play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
What they are doing. They are role playing.
Yeah.
And just having a good old time.
Right. Just as their ancient ancestors, the Israelites, did. Right.
Well, I mean, all those big orgies were a lot of fun, I imagine. Get drunk. Let's get drunk and, well, okay.
Yeah.
Remember that old country song?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, we're seeing that Kin is a likely word for queen, and Quinn, the surname Quinn, okay, which is Irish and Celtic. All right. And according to Sharon Turner in his monumental work, The History of the Anglo-Saxons, citing the ancient Saxon chronicles, the famous Odin actually lived in the 3rd century A.D., and many of the kings of England, Germany, and Scandinavia traced their descent from him. Okay? Now, has it not been a prophecy, the article doesn't talk about it here, that the house of David would last forever? Okay? Would last forever, and the Jews have no kings and queens, zilch, zero, nada, which means that only the Israelite house of Judah has a perpetual dynasty, perpetual dynasty, which will include Yahshua Messiah at the second coming. He will take the throne at that time, okay? So where did all these kings and queens come from if they're not direct descendants of David?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
It says the word toot. T-E-U-T is...
Auf Deutsch.
Okay. Teutonic.
Yes.
I'm using the English pronunciation.
Yeah.
Is an anglicized version of the German Deutsch, which is derived from the Latin Deus, meaning God.
Right. So we are gods.
The word Deutsche Volk means God's people. This is exactly how the Israelites referred to themselves. Well, we had our languages changed and all these other languages. Yeah. It developed into these other languages.
Yeah. They never forgot that they were God's people.
All these languages have Hebrew roots.
That's right.
A lot of Hebrew words in a lot of our languages.
Yes. And 2 Maccabees, or maybe it's 2 Esdras, contains the statement that we 10 tribes have been banished by Yahweh when they were getting ready to cross over the pass of Israel into Europe. They said, we vow to keep Yahweh's laws as we have failed to do for the last few centuries. Okay? So they still knew that they were God's chosen people, Israel, at that time. They still knew that. But they also admitted that they had failed to keep his laws. All right? This is contained in the Apocrypha. That's why the Apocrypha are so important. Okay?
The word British is Berit Ish, covenant man. Berit, it's like the New Testament. Berit Karasha. Okay? The covenant.
Yes. British is covenant man. The Brits are covenant, the covenant people.
And their
language retains these meanings.
And the Saxon Gott and the German Gott both mean God. Gottish, therefore, means God's people. Gott Ish. Ish, Ish is it is right. plural for people.
That's right.
God's men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Celtic Bel is identical to the Hebrew Baal, and the Beltrane feast is still celebrated in parts of Britain today. None of these people have any idea that they're practicing traditions brought to Europe by their pagan Israelite ancestors.
So does it is it now understandable why it's important to know the history of the 12 tribes? Okay. And, of course, this knowledge has been kept from us, and the Jews have been the primary ones memory-holding all of this history. There are literally hundreds of books available, and a couple of them are mentioned in this article, documenting the Israelite origin of the European nation states. Okay.
That's right. And they use this suppressed information
mm-hmm.
to keep us ignorant so we don't rise up and defend ourselves because we don't know our true identity.
Right. Exactly.
And they use to murder us. It's another one of their ploys. My people perish
right.
for lack of knowledge. Well, we're giving them knowledge, and maybe some of them won't perish. I hope.
Right.
I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where we're here. We're here to reach the flock and bring back the prodigal sons and daughters back into the true faith. All right. Which is not a version of Judaism, folks. Christian identity
nope.
is the most anti-Jewish doctrine on the face of the earth. Okay, we're not trying to be Jews. We reject Judaism and Talmudism 100% and we pray and preach against it. Okay, the Hebrew word Al, meaning son, became the Phoenician Hal. In Celtic, it becomes Hial, and in Greek, it was Helios. So is this? The Hebrew word Al, meaning son, is that correct, Pastor Steve?
That's one meaning, yes.
Okay.
It's usually Shemesh.
Okay. Shemesh also means son?
Shemesh does mean son.
Now, doesn't the Hebrew word Shem, that means also, doesn't it mean word?
Yeah, but it's not, it's, Shem means name.
Okay.
Shemesh, you can't, it's not two words put together, it's one word.
Okay.
It was never separated. It's Shemesh.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Son.
And what? And that means son. Okay.
And
so,
that's like Beit Shemesh. That's mm-hmm. House of the Sun.
House of the Sun. Okay.
That's where they worship the sun. Okay.
Right. Now, it's interesting. I didn't think of this before, but Allah.
That's correct.
Correct. Allah, right?
They are sun and moon worshipers.
That's right.
They're symbols.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Quote, all Celtic nations have been accustomed to the worship of the sun. It was a custom that everywhere prevailed in ancient times to celebrate a feast at the winter solstice. Sol Invictus.
When the sun would start to rise again.
Right. And the days become longer. Right. They called it in many places Yul or Yul from the word Hial. Professor Paul Henri Mallet. Northern Antiquities. Now
and
you know. Go ahead.
The Yule log. You know what the purpose of the Yule log was?
It's a light.
As
it lights
long
up.
as long as they got a great big log, and as long as the Yule log was burning, nobody had to do any work.
Oh, really?
So the servants would go out and find the biggest log they could find.
Right. So they could party until they all got drunk.
Soak it in a little water so it lasted pretty good.
Right,
it's not
right.
all burned up.
Or they so got they, so they, drunk that nobody fed the Yule fire anymore. Right, and they had to go back to work.
And well, no, as long as the log was, but once you got that baby going, it burned.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a great big log. It'll burn down inside of it and burst into flame every once in a while.
And even I, Pastor Steve, I love outdoor fires. I don't know
what it is. I do
right?
too.
The Jews aren't known for that. The Jews are city people. They're not known. It's our tradition, folks. We have it in our blood. Okay. So, and this is why the Yule log is popular among Christians, because it's part of our tradition, right? The Catholic Church has been most guilty of blending paganism with Christianity, as Easter is really a hybrid pagan rite derived from the worship of the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. Ishtar was the goddess of what? Easter eggs. Fertility.
Fertility. Yep. Ishtar, Ashtoreth.
Yes.
Okay. All of that.
Have you ever wondered why what the Easter Bunny has to do with the crucifixion? The answer is nothing. It's a pagan ritual adopted by the Roman Catholic Church. That's why it's in so-called Christianity. And that's the only reason why. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mary worship can be traced back to Semiramis of Babylon. Statues of Semiramis show her as the prototypical Madonna and child. So Christmas, Easter, and the Madonna motif all contain pagan elements directly traceable to ancient Babylon. And your statement earlier, Pastor Steve, is absolutely right. It was the Roman Catholic Church, in deference to the pagans around them,
that's right,
that changed the Christian religion to reflect paganism.
That's because so many of the popes back then were also Jews.
And pagans.
And it was also all about control and money and power.
Yeah, Constantine changed the law so that Christianity was no longer a punished religion. But he also changed Christianity by adopting all these pagan motifs. It was simply a political move. That's all it was.
Yep, that's it.
All right. Yeah. He did not, and Constantine he did not convert to Christianity. He did not get baptized until he was on his deathbed. Okay? So he was a pagan his whole life long.
So then he got sprinkled.
Yeah, and he got sprinkled, right? He did not get immersed, which is not, sprinkling is not the proper form of baptism. So he is a pagan his whole life long, and he died a pagan. That's basically it. Okay?
There you go.
Neo-pagans believe that the word Saxon derives from the word axe. How the letter S was added to the word axe is obscure. What we know for sure is that Yahweh told Abraham that his offspring would be named after his son Isaac. Saka, saka, saka. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Genesis 21:12. Your comment.
Isaac's sons. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Note that the Jewish people are not named after Isaac. Even if the word Saxon is derivable from the word axe, it's still an Israelite connection. For in Jeremiah 51:20, Yahweh tells his people, "Thou art my battle axe."
Uh-huh.
The Israelites
and weapons of war.
And weapons of war, right? The Israelites were famous for their use of the battle axe in war. Again, proving that we're Israelites.
What did the Vikings like to use? They were famous axemen.
Right. Okay. And seafarers. The Jews were never seafarers. Only the Israelite tribes. So it's the more you look into this, folks, the more you realize that the modern pagans and most of these Israelite nations in early history had been paganized and had to be converted later on. The whole history of Europe post-crucifixion is how, in fact, what did Yahshua say? You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come, until the second coming.
Yep.
Because the Israelites will build so many cities that you can't even count them. Not true of the Jews at all. At all, okay?
The Jews migrate to our cities
after we build them.
Because they are parasites.
That's right.
And they follow along in our dust and bite our heel.
Genesis 3:14-15. Yes.
Okay. And they strike at the heel of Adam.
Right. Livesum says, read The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. a very good book on the history of all these pagan things and basically how the Catholic Church adopted all these pagan traditions, which most Catholics are utterly ignorant of. Brother Hebert, which god do the Amish worship? That's a good question. Why am I thus says a German god?
Right. Well, actually, the Amish are not from Germany.
Uh-huh.
They
speak German.
They speak Amish. They don't speak German.
So what does that mean? It's my people. Hebrew for my people.
Well, Ammon and Menon were the two brothers, and they separated.
Okay.
So you have the Mennonites and the Amish.
Uh-huh.
And
interesting.
But
they're Christians. Bible-toting Christians.
They're very straight-laced Bible-believing Christians.
Right.
Now, the Mennonites are less strict and have mm-hmm. different traditions.
Right.
Than the Amish, unless you get the Old Order Mennonites, and they're virtually Amish. So, mm-hmm. you don't see naked flesh on any of their women. They
no.
don't have bare arms or ankles. They wear long dresses and a bonnet. Right.
Yeah,
and they're
that's like
wonderful.
The good old days.
they're wonderful people. They mm-hmm. are.
Yes, they are.
And
yes,
fine
they are.
Farmers.
Yes. But, again, the Amish and the Mennonites are Israelites, and they don't know it.
I have never discussed their religion with them because they're so tight-lipped.
Right,
they
are.
They don't like to do that.
Yeah.
They may be Yahweh worshipers. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, and certainly the Boer people of South Africa they know they're Israelites. They have preached this and known this throughout their entire history. Okay. And
yep.
the covenant they made at Blood River, they understood to be a covenant with Yahweh. Okay. So the
uh-huh.
history of our people, those who know they're Israelites and those who don't, is a subject requiring intensive study. We're just scratching the surface here, okay? Just scratching the surface.
Well, it's down in they're talking about Valhalla and Niflheim.
Right.
This is wrong. Niflheim means something or other, home.
Okay. Heim is home, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not Nephilim.
Okay. Well, I mean, the words are similar. Okay.
Similar, yeah. Well, there are a lot of things that are similar.
And here again, you find that a lot of the pagan traditions, the words harken back to the Tigris-Euphrates area where these people originated from. And they even say, this is where we came from. Okay? Their traditions even say, this is where we came from. Well, they forget that this is where the Israelites lived for over, 700 years or more?
Oh, man, you know. That was our place.
That's right. Those are stomping grounds. Okay, Assyria. And our people lived, they were subject to the Assyrians, except those who fled from slavery because they were slaves to the Assyrians. They got tired of being slaves.
And that's where the word Slav comes from.
That's right. That's right. So all the Slavic tradition, you know, and... this is the name that the Israelites gave to the Japhethites who were living there, because the fact is that the Israelites did enslave, the Hebrews did enslave the Japhethites of the territory. Okay. But they also dealt with them and dealt with them fairly. They clashed with them and then they made friends with them and lived. And of course the prophecy was that Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And this prophecy was fulfilled by the Davidic kings, and the czars were descendants of King David, so were the Kaisers of Germany, so were the Roman kings, also descendants of King David. Uh-huh. And, so when we know our history very well, we see that how...
Well,
go ahead.
Rome was a Zara branch.
That's right.
Of Judah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Dardanelles. The Dara was one of the sons of Zerah Judah. Uh-huh. Okay. And I forget the list of descendants of Judah, but certainly Zerah was one of them. And they migrated into Europe before the Exodus and set up the Dardanelles. They established Troy. Right. They took uh-huh. over Rome. They went to Britain. Okay. And the Roman kings acknowledged their common ancestry with the British kings.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And they even intermarried. And Constantine's father, Constantius, was a Roman who married a Celtic queen. A Celtic queen, okay?
Yeah.
As which, they understood that they were related, and so this intermarriage was permitted. Okay?
Yep. And I like those red-haired lasses.
Right? With bright red hair and stark blue eyes, right? There's no other people in the world that have that kind of description. They were Aryan white Israelites, Hebrews. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sarah, in the... wait a minute. I think I have it right here. For all the doubters and disbelievers that the Israelites were white. Quote, Sarah's beauty told in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Jerusalem, this is fuzzy type, sorry. I'll do my best to read this. Israeli sector, an excerpt from the 7th Dead Sea Scroll describing Abraham's sojourn in Egypt and the great beauty of Sarah, his wife, was made possible or public for the first time yesterday. The 2,000-year-old scroll, badly preserved and extremely brittle. Let me just find the quote. Okay, here's the description. And how beautiful the look of her face, and how fine is the hair of her head, and her fair meaning white, skin,
yeah.
And her eyes, etc., etc. This is too blurry. It's too blurry. But anyway, Sarah's beauty and her long, beautiful fingers and her white skin emphasized. Now, the Israelites were not allowed to make idols. So, and they didn't make statues of themselves. Okay? So you have to rely on other sources to get the physical characteristics and to prove their Aryan heritage. Okay, and so I'll make this public. I'll find a better version of it. This is really fuzzy print, but Sarah was a white woman.
Oh yes, very definitely.
No doubt about it. Okay, so anybody who thinks the Hebrews are Jews and have the Jewish visage and hooked nose, that's a lie. That you're just following Jewish lies if you believe that. Okay. All right, yeah, and then what I'm going to do, Pastor Steve, is I'll post this interview on the main page, and I'll find a better quality reprint of the Dead Sea Scroll that talks about Sarah's white skin, okay?
Okay.
And her beautiful visage, et cetera, okay? None of which is true of Jewish women, okay? All right, so one more, because we're near the end here. We are only scratching the surface of this subject. The Canaanite origin of the Celtic Teutonic pantheon can be demonstrated in volumes of historical and linguistic connections. There is so much evidence of this fact that it is quite irrefutable. But of course, few whites or Christians are aware of the Israelites' descent into paganism. It's a forgotten chapter of the Bible, and very few of the Christian denominations teach anything about the lost tribes.
Nope.
Virtually nothing.
Nope.
Neo-pagans of today have no idea that they are actually worshiping the gods of the Canaanites, who were the true ancestors of today's Jews. Okay? So who's really practicing a form of Judaism? Christian identity or neo-pagans?
How's them apples, yeah. Should we say?
Acorns.
Acorn.
Yeah, and your point that the ash pole is really the maypole.
Asherah pole.
Asherah pole. That's goddess of...
It was a carved image of the goddess of fertility. Mm-hmm. And then they put all the little ribbons around it and wove around one. They got everything all woven around the pole all the way to the
tie
base.
A yellow
then they
ribbon
would all
around
strip
the
off,
old
and
oak
they
tree.
Would, they would all strip off and just have at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would drink and get all plastered drunk and just
right.
Everybody was groping everybody.
Speaking of the Christmas office party,
uh-huh.
right? Right.
But we were going to finish up with the thing that Christmas itself was established by a pope and is a pagan holiday. Now, I know, oh, it's fun for the children, and it's
yeah,
this,
right.
that. You can't Christianize paganism.
No,
I'm sorry,
can't.
Brothers and sisters, you can't do it. And if you try, you're going to make Yahweh angry. That's why we're in dispersion right now.
That's right.
Exactly we're all right. scattered out, and we have all these troubles because we just won't turn loose of this stuff.
Right.
We just won't. The only ones that have turned loose of it are the Christian identists.
That's right.
I mean, we're trying to get back to the fundamentals, the simple fundamentals of Yahweh worship. We don't do the sacrifices anymore. That's been done for all time.
Yes, it has. Yes, it
and
has.
And we don't need to add all these rituals to our way of life.
Yes. Amen, brother. All right, folks. Do you need more proof? Well, we'll dig up more proof in the near future. But the fact is that European paganism has its roots in Israelite paganism and defying Yahweh's laws. That's the long and short of it, folks. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Bye-bye.